Good morning, and once again, welcome. It's FPC Radio Live. It's March the 14th, 2023. Entering day two of the legal tampering period in the NFL, and we got a little bit of action yesterday. A couple deals announced, or not announced, rather they were quote unquote agreed to. As we all know, pen cannot go to paper until tomorrow afternoon, but very, very rarely do these deals fall through between now and the time they can become officially official. So the one thing, John, that we're still waiting on, though, Mr. Aaron Rodgers, clock is ticking. Clock is ticking.
Tick, tick, tick.
Tick,
yeah,
tick, tick.
Exactly. And one reporter, I don't even know if he's a reporter. I mean, he worked at ESPN, you know, really talented guy, but he's kind of stepped back a little bit. Trey Wingo tweeted out yesterday that done deal, Rodgers to the Jets, but he had no real specifics on that. You know, Schefter didn't report it. Rappaport didn't report it. So I guess if those guys don't report it, really never happened. But there's nothing official with Aaron Rodgers. Again, like you said, Ian, nothing can really be official till tomorrow. But as you said, when these deals are made, they go through. But this is Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers. I believe he's going to be on McAfee today. Does he announce it on that? Does he wait till tomorrow when it would be official? Does he do it on the Ides of March, which, you know, I've been pushing that theory. But it's just being Aaron Rodgers, right? Because he's a drama king. And, you know, I think the whole thing with him is he was not recruited coming out of high school. Went to Butte Junior College. Then went to Cal. Was supposed to be the first overall pick in the 2005 NFL draft. Instead, he went 24th. And we just remember him suing that night because he wasn't being selected. So this is his time to be in control of the situation. Although he's not totally in control because Green Bay and the Jets still have to work out details of a trade. But he's doing what he normally does, which is he's going to string this along. He loves attention, which leads me to believe he's not going to retire, because if he retires, what's the platform he can be on where he'll get as much attention as being
right.
the quarterback of the Jets or the Packers or whoever?
Well, and look, I mean, going back to your comment about Trey Wingo, and as much as, you know, sometimes these athletes have their guys, and I feel like maybe I'm maybe misremembering this, but I feel like in the past, Trey Wingo's kind of been one of his guys, so like that's certainly in the realm of possibility for him to tell him and only him and just be like, hey, throw it out there and let people stew, and you know, eventually this thing's going to get announced, because you gotta figure that Aaron Rodgers already kind of knows what's going to happen. I mean, I don't think he's still undecided at this point. I think, to your point, I think he's kind of just toying with us a little bit, which is fine, which again, I mean, go for it. Be the villain. I like the commitment to just being that, you know, and you're going to piss people off, and that's fine. There's going to be a lot of comparisons to Brett Favre, and look, they already exist. I mean, they existed before he is going to end up eventually going to the Jets, which, again, it's just, it's funny how these things work out, you know, where it's like, you know, they spend almost identical amount of time as a starter, pretty much achieve just about the same, have the same question marks surrounding them around their exit, and they go to the same team immediately following their tenure with Green Bay. It's pretty fascinating. But, yeah, I mean, look, I think we all believe this deal is eventually going to get done. He's going to announce that he wants to play, and therefore he'll end up with New York. And look, we saw this morning, or at least I saw this morning, that apparently the Jets are working to sign Alan Lazard, which, again, I mean, okay, we get it. You know, you have Aaron Rodgers set up to arrive there. We get why you're trying to sign Alan Lazard. There's a reason why the Jets have not been connected to any other quarterback, John, so far. I mean, there was rumblings, obviously, earlier in the offseason because every team that needed a quarterback was connected to everyone. But, like, seriously, think about it. There has not been one recent link to the Jets and any other quarterback. And at this point, with their desperate need of a quarterback, that has to tell you that they know the deal is going to get done. Green Bay knows the deal is going to get done. And Aaron Rodgers knows the deal is going to get done. It's just a matter of, well, when does it happen? And I think it's going to happen soon.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Lazard would be nice bait because they have a good relationship. It was his favorite receiver last year. Maybe Randall Cobb, who's older than I am, and I'm going to be 60 next month, will be the next ex-Packer to join the Jets. I mean, is there potential for David Bakhtiari, who has been one of the best left tackles in football, but had that knee injury a couple of seasons ago, has never been the same. Maybe there's some sort of mechanism to get him as his left tackle with the Jets. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. I always remember, this is going to be cross-sport reference, which I love doing anyway, so let's do it. But Manny Ramirez, when he was a free agent and he signed with the Red Sox, the big holdup was he wanted to bring his own batting practice pitcher. And he was going to be paid $50,000 a year. And I remember Dan Duquette, because they kind of did a mini documentary on the signing of Manny Ramirez, and was like, that's the holdup right now, is that Manny wants his own batting practice pitcher. It's like, okay, just do it. Like, that's going to finalize the deal. Let's do it. And Ramirez is kind of like Aaron Rodgers. They're somewhat eccentric and pains in the butt, but wildly talented. So you put up with whatever nonsense you have to deal with. But I think it's going to happen. The only thing is, maybe Aaron Rodgers, when he met Woody Johnson, maybe they didn't hit it off because Woody Johnson's company developed a vaccine, and maybe Aaron's, you know, so much of an anti-vaxxer that he was turned off by the meeting. Who knows?
Well,
I think anything is possible with him, right?
Well, like I said, I think, look, at this point, I think the way Aaron Rodgers is acting, the way these other, you know, everything, it's going to get done. It's just, like I said, I don't know if there's a small hang up or just a matter of timing. Maybe you're right. Maybe he does want to make some big announcement today on the Pat McAfee show. You never know. That would be very Aaron Rodgers like, and certainly, you know, he seems like a guy who will throw his guys a bone, you know, and obviously him and Pat McAfee obviously have a good relationship because, well, he's constantly on the show every week. So, but anyways, that's
paid. I'm assuming he gets paid for those appearances.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, obviously these weekly appearances are likely sponsored some way in some form or fashion. But you still feel like, I feel like he has opened up a little bit more, obviously, on that show than anything. So maybe today's the day, John. I know you're going to be sitting there watching glued to your TV. So, waiting for that announcement. So anyways, Jimmy G heading to Las Vegas. So it's really not that surprising, especially when Brady announced his retirement. There was really no other option for the Raiders. I mean, really. I mean, who? What were they going to do? Go out and get Jameis Winston? You know, like, no. Like, it's pretty much Jimmy G or bust at that point, or you're rolling with Jarrett Stidham, who happened to sign with, where'd he go? He signed somewhere yesterday.
He went with Denver.
Denver, right. Yeah.
Mike White with Miami, 2 years, potentially $16 million. You know, good for them getting those types of contracts. It's clearly backup quarterbacks. But, yeah, Jimmy G going to Vegas, which is perfect, right? That's the perfect city for Jimmy G. You know, light it up there. You know, I tweeted out earlier that Jimmy G, obviously not the most durable of all quarterbacks. He's only made 63 of his potential starts as an NFL quarterback, which is more like a superstar NBA player. That's not what you want from your quarterback. You want him making pretty much every start that he's supposed to. But in odd-numbered years, Jimmy G has been durable. He's made 95% of his potential starts in odd-numbered years, while in even-numbered years, he's only made 40% of his potential starts. So last time I checked, it's going to be 2023 in September. It is already, but
yeah.
2023 season. So, you know, the Ravens can count on Jimmy G being out there for most of the games, and good for him. He's got some good weapons there, good relationship with Josh McDaniels. So, you know, maybe he can reinvent himself, but he got a pretty good deal, right? 3 years, $67.5 million, with half of it guaranteed. Good for Jimmy G.
Hey, look out,
ladies in Vegas, there's Jimmy G coming to town.
Well, look, I mean, the thing is, everything being equal, both players being healthy and all that nonsense, I think Jimmy G is a better quarterback than Derek Carr. You can't explain it. He knows how to win. I mean, again, I think their peaks are about the same. I think their valleys are about the same. But I think Jimmy G's more consistent play-wise and a better decision-maker. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the health is the big factor. So, you know, this is going to be an interesting situation for the Raiders. I do think that they are better, again, with a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo than with Derek Carr. And I do think the Raiders have a nice group of receivers, running backs, and a tight end that can really, you know, play to Jimmy Garoppolo's strengths. And, of course, I mean, you know, you can't discount the connection between Josh McDaniels and Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously, there's a working relationship there. Jimmy Garoppolo and Josh were together in New England when he was drafted. And really, if you think about it, in Josh McDaniels' very short time as a head coach in the NFL, this is probably the first time he's going to have one of his guys as the quarterback. You know what I mean? He went into Denver with Jay Cutler, a situation that, you know, we've talked about Jay Cutler, all the talent in the world. Just we know too much about the quarterback position now to know that Jay Cutler was never going to win, quote unquote, in the NFL. So whether you want to fault Josh McDaniels for that or not, by all means, he deserves a lot of criticism for his time in Denver. But, you know, kind of the same thing repeated itself. He got stuck with Derek Carr in his first year, and it's like he realized and saw what everyone else saw. Or I hope everyone else sees, and that is Derek Carr is a nice quarterback. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr. And, you know, sometimes that Band-Aid is tough to rip off right off the bat. But I think Josh McDaniels has done that. And look, I mean, he's not Tom Brady, but Jimmy Garoppolo's brought the 49ers to a Super Bowl. He's consistent. Again, is he going to be the difference in whether or not you win a Super Bowl? Not necessarily. You're going to need to elevate everything with your defense and your offensive playmakers and all that stuff. But he is a guy you can certainly help navigate to a Super Bowl. And I think that's what the Raiders are looking for right now. And really, I mean, you're not going to get much better than Jimmy Garoppolo right now. I mean, we've talked about the Lamar Jackson thing to death. I mean, you're not going to trade for Lamar Jackson. Not many teams can or will be willing to take that risk. Outside of that, Aaron Rodgers wasn't coming to Las Vegas. Your other options? Nothing. So, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo is a pretty big signing for the Raiders, and I think their best option for 2023.
Yeah, and the comparison with Carr is an interesting one. I think the difference between the two quarterbacks, I mean, Carr is more durable than Jimmy G, but then again, so are most quarterbacks. But the thing with Jimmy G is his teammates love him. Like, he's that guy. I think he's got those intangibles that you look for in a quarterback. I mean, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel. I mean, they just spoke glowingly of the guy. It just seemed like every player liked him, but Kyle Shanahan didn't. But then again, Kyle Shanahan seems to be a guy that never likes his quarterback because he thinks it's all about him, that he makes the quarterback. But Derek Carr, I don't get that connection with his teammates, right? I just remember back, I think it was in 2017, the Raiders are playing a Sunday night game in Washington, and it was all during the Kaepernick story, and he didn't seem to connect with his teammates.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was away from them. So, you know, your quarterback has to be your leader, and I think Garoppolo's got really good leadership tendency. He's kind of like a cool guy, like, you know, everybody kind of likes and gravitates to, where Carr isn't.
And kind of to that point, too, you know, from Jimmy G's perspective, this might be the first time in several seasons where he's comfortable where he's at, where he's not feeling like he's getting pushed out. Because if you think about it, the last, 3 years, essentially, it's been like, well, who's the replacement for Jimmy Garoppolo? And then it's like they had no other option but to start Jimmy Garoppolo, and yet he still came in and won football games for him. So just like the start
good
of this
point.
Season, all of a sudden it's like, well, Trey Lance. Well, who is Trey Lance? No one knows. You had to go to Jimmy Garoppolo, and guess what? You go to Jimmy Garoppolo, you start winning football games again. Voila. So, you know, for the first time in his most recent history, he's going to a team where he knows the coach wants him there. I mean, obviously Josh McDaniels wants him there. And excuse me, to your point, like I think there's Derek Carr can be very alienating. I think the again, the religious angle may or may not be a factor, because I know he's super religious, and I know that's not always a factor with every player. Obviously, Drew Brees was the same way, and players gravitated towards him. But I think it does play a role in his personality and how he, you know what I mean, how he acts, and how maybe he can't connect with just about every teammate. And to your point, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is just kind of like the cool guy that comes in, you know, hey, you know, I've been around the block sometime. I think he's relaxed around his teammates, and I think that means a lot. Now, again, that means nothing at the end of the day if he can't, you know, produce. I do think he's going to be able to produce when he's healthy, if he's healthy, and that's really, John, the biggest factor in all of this. Is Jimmy Garoppolo going to be healthy? Now, if he is, it doesn't mean they're the best team in the AFC West, but they're a team that can compete in the AFC and I think certainly have a better shot moving forward. They still have to fix the defense because that's one thing Jimmy Garoppolo's not going to have that he had in San Francisco, and that is a solid defense to support him. But I do think that this team can make some noise if, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo comes in healthy, and then you have guys like Devontae Adams to throw to and Josh Jacobs to run behind and, you know, Darren Waller at the tight end position. So fascinating, interested, not that surprising, but, you know, very intriguing move by the Raiders.
And also you get a factor in that Josh McDaniels has a lot of pressure on him this year. Another 6-11 or 7-10 type season, he's gone, right? They'll move on from him. And he took over a kind of interesting situation. We talked about it all last offseason. The Raiders went 10-7 the year before, made the playoffs, but they were outscored, outgained. They won a lot of close, weird games. That's not the best situation you want to take over because things have a tendency of going back to the norm the following season. That's why I think like the Minnesota Vikings, who were 13-4 in 2022, will probably go like 9-8 next season because, you know, they won a lot of strange games. So McDaniels is taking over what is technically a playoff team, although it's really not. And you knew they were going to regress at some point. So there's your first year. So there's pressure on him. And now he's got a quarterback that I think he trusts and that can win now. I don't think the Raiders would be in a situation where let's take a risk and maybe draft a quarterback and see if he can ignite the franchise right from the get-go. Maybe they do take a quarterback and groom him for a couple of years behind Jimmy G. Although I think, again, if you're in a must-win situation now, you want to use that 7th overall pick for an impact player this year. Yeah. You don't want to have a guy with a 7th overall pick holding a clipboard for 2 years because you'll probably be gone at that point. So, yeah, I think it's a good move for the Raiders, good move for Jimmy G. And I'm a big uniform guy. I think he's going to look really good in that black and silver uniform.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you can't discount the fact that as great as Deebo Samuel is, no one's doubting that, you know, he hasn't had a wide receiver like Devontae Adams in his career. So I'll be fascinating to see. I mean, the closest thing to that would be George Kittle, right? Big-bodied wide receiver who can catch in the middle of the field. Well, Devontae Adams can do that and a whole hell of a lot more. And it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out, how that connection plays out. Because I think, you know, Devontae Adams is the type of guy who can – like, you know how, like, not every wide receiver or and or quarterback can mesh with one another? Like, every so, despite the talent, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. I feel like Devontae Adams is that guy who can just mesh with anyone. Like, he can go in and elevate a subpar quarterback. He can go in and, you know, immediately connect with the veteran superstar quarterback. And I think That's one of the advantages Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have now that he's never had in his career to this point. I mean, he's had some good talent around him. Don't get me wrong, and he still has that now with the Raiders. But Devontae Adams is just a little bit different. So, so I'll ask you, John, of all the moves that were made yesterday, and I meant to check this. I wanted to kind of see what has happened while we've been talking the last like 20 minutes or so. But of all the moves yesterday, is any other series of moves, any team stuck out to you?
Kansas City always seems to do the right thing, right? So they always are focused on that offensive line because those are the five guys they're going to have to protect: Patrick Mahomes, the franchise quarterback, a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. And they made the proper move. They're not going to keep Orlando Brown. They're going to move on from him. And they brought the tackle in from Jacksonville, who's only 25 years old. So they see that they're going to get an upgrade there. So the Chiefs always seem to make the right move. I think the Bears, who have a ton of money in terms of free agency spending with Tremaine Edwards, the fine linebacker from Buffalo. So they raid the Bills and get a kind of an impact type defensive player who is still so young. So I'd say the Bears adding Edmonds and the Chiefs making that move at offensive tackle, good moves there. Denver also getting Mike McGlinchey as a right tackle. You know, the money gets crazy because the salary cap continues to go up and up and up, and players are getting good contracts and good for them. But I would say those were some of the more interesting moves yesterday.
Yeah, and look, I was actually kind of surprised that the Patriots held on to Jonathan Jones.
Me too.
That was and at a very reasonable price too. I mean, they essentially got Jonathan Jones for what Taylor Heineke got this morning for a backup quarterback position. So, you know, it's that was a bit surprising because I think you know, we kind of convinced ourselves that he was likely a candidate to go because he's a very talented cornerback. And, you know, if there's one thing that the Patriots do well, it's draft and sign and develop defensive backs. And that's been kind of true the last decade or so, which makes it seem like that period of time post Ty Law and pre Aqib Talib slash Darrell Revis was a lifetime ago, because that was a very, very poor era. Aside from, of course, Devin McCourty, who was obviously drafted as a cornerback, played very well his rookie year, but was moved to safety the following year. So surprised to see that. I was happy to see that. You know, obviously the Patriots right now are, you know, it's interesting. You know, I don't know necessarily, I'm not going to make any judgments on their offseason or their upcoming season one way or the other, because, well, it's March 14th, John. It's like, come on, people. We go through this every single year. You have no idea who's going to be. I mean, look, the Chargers won the offseason last year, right? Wasn't it? You know, the Chargers came in and swung big. They signed all these players, and you're like, oh, my God, this Chargers team is going to be unstoppable, except that they're still the Chargers, and they just did what the Chargers do, and they underperformed. So, you know, all this stuff is good and well. You know, Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets, obviously that's going to make them a better team because, well, any quarterback aside from Zach Wilson is going to make them a better team. You know, the Bills, I think, are, and this is something that we've talked about for the, you know, heading into last season. The window for Buffalo isn't as big as what their fans thought. And I think very easily you could talk about it being closed already. Miami, I think, has gotten better with Jalen Ramsey. I don't think he's going to be as good as people think he is, but I still think their progression in year two under Mike McDaniel, and I think they're going to be more competitive. I think the gap between Buffalo and those other teams in that division isn't as big as it was previously. And then you have other teams in the AFC, obviously Kansas City, obviously, you know, other teams like Las Vegas, and I know we just kind of junked on Los Angeles, but the Chargers are still there. I mean, the Ravens, who knows what's going to happen with them. I think Pittsburgh's getting better. If they get better than mediocre quarterback play this season, they're going to be a team that's going to be in the mix for a playoff spot. So Buffalo, look, they went through this in the 90s. Sometimes you have your opportunity and you just don't take advantage of it. And look, maybe that's a little harsh for a team who went to four straight Super Bowls, but I think that's a little bit more true now during this era of Buffalo Bills football, where, you know, I think we've hit that peak in the hype for the Bills, and I think we're on the downswing now. So now the pressure is really on them to actually win, because it's not going to get much better than what they've had the last couple of years.
Hot take on March 14th, mark it down. The Bills will not win the AFC East in 2023, especially if Aaron Rodgers ends up with the Jets. Either the Jets or Miami will win that division. They've made the proper moves in the offseason. Mm-hmm. They're closing the gap. And I agree 100% with you, Ian. The window may be closing on the Buffalo Bills. It was their year last year. They were supposed to win the Super Bowl, and they came up short, miserably short in the divisional round. I mean, they were manhandled by the Bengals 27-10. Heck, let's not forget, in the wild card round, they barely beat, I think, a pretty solid, not great Miami team by a field goal. So I think, you know, that there's a lot of pressure on them. I think Sean McDermott's going to be on the hot seat. You know, he's got all this talent, which he's now starting to lose, right? Jordan Poirier's probably going to sign elsewhere, the fine free safety. Tremaine Edmonds, the linebacker we talked about, is now a Bear. They don't have a running game. They've never really created a running game. Their running game is Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to go out and get Derrick Henry? And if they do, that's a big splash move. What does he have left? Their offensive line isn't all that great. And they, other than Stephon Diggs, have a mediocre group of pass catchers. So, yeah, I think that the Bills will not win the AFC East this year. That's the hot take.
Yeah, and look, I think that's not going to be as hot of a take as we move forward in this offseason. I think you're ahead of the curve there, for sure. But
I always am.
Of course. Sometimes not, you know, on purpose, though. That was, you know, sometimes just you get led astray, and it just so happens you land in the right, you know, a broken clock is right twice a
day. Hey, that's
day,
my one.
So.
Don't steal that one. That's my move.
That's my move. I stop short. Speaking of stop short, I stopped short in ever changing my kitchen clock, so now it is back actually working on time. So for 6 months, I was always an hour ahead, but now with the time change, I am back to normal because I was just too lazy to get up there and change the clock. So I lived with it.
Oh, my Lord, that's not good.
Well, you know, look, you know, after a few months, you're just like, eh, what the hell do I care? You know, eventually it'll be right. And guess what? It's going to be right between now and what? Whenever the hell it changes.
October, you know, October or early November.
November, whatever it is. So
you're like Belichick, who couldn't fix his clock in his car. Remember, you know,
no, I could, I could fix it
when he was trying to figure that out.
I could fix it. Don't get me wrong, I could fix it. I just chose not to.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, you are Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I'm sure he's done the same thing. In fact, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have clocks in his house.
No, no, of course not. Of course not. I don't think he believes in clocks.
No.
Certainly not play clocks, because sometimes that can come back to haunt him. So, yeah, you set me up for that one. So
I did.
Anyways. I think this is almost like my George Costanza moment where I should just like, you know what, let's just end it now because it can't get much better than that. But the reality of it is we're looking at day two now as, potentially, John, a wide receiver day, question mark. Not a single wide receiver signed yesterday. Obviously Odell Beckham Jr. is one of the bigger ones on the market. Is that market waiting for the Aaron Rodgers thing to work out? Maybe it is.
That makes sense, right? Yeah.
It could. I don't think it's completely all because of Aaron Rodgers, but I think that might be a factor for, say, a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. Maybe he's getting interest from a few teams, one of which might be the Jets. Well, are the Jets going to get Aaron Rodgers, a guy that he's wanted to play with for a while? Sure. If he goes and get Aaron Rodgers, well, Odell Beckham Jr. is like, well, okay, New York, what can you offer me? And the idea of going back to New York, not with the Giants, kind of makes a lot of sense, right? You know, you go and, you know, you go to a familiar place, ironically in New Jersey, not New York, but whatever, that's a discussion for the offseason, later in the offseason. But the quote-unquote New York Jets, I like kind of taking that little shiv and stabbing those, you know, New York fans with it. I know that was a little graphic, but you know what I mean. Like, yo, hey, New York, hey, you're technically in New Jersey. Why don't you call yourself the New Jersey Jets, all right? But anyways, I'm rambling on about stupid things. Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets. All of a sudden, Odell Beckham Jr. is like, you know what? I want to go sign with the New York Jets. And it's very possible because, again, like I said, those two have had a connection. He's wanted to play with them. I think it almost happened at one point in Green Bay, but it just didn't work out. Now you have an opportunity to do it on a big stage in New York. Not that the Jets are a big stage, but just the idea of playing in New York is a big stage. So, yeah, maybe that starts to kind of unravel a little bit today. And look, I mean, obviously a guy like, you know, personally we're keeping an eye on Jakobi Meyers. What is he going to get? Because, you know, yeah, there hasn't been really a signing in the wide receiver market, but it's really not a great market for players, you know, outside of Odell Beckham Jr., who has the injury caveat and the age caveat. Jakobi Meyers is probably the best wide receiver available, and I think a lot of teams are going to be searching for wide receivers, so I think those guys are going to get overpaid. Certainly not, you know, equal to their talent, you know, outside of maybe Jakobi Meyers, but like some of these other guys are going to get overpaid, and you know, it's really a matter of, well, who gets the luckiest and actually finds someone that comes close to their worth.
The thing about the wide receivers now, I don't know if you'll see really top-flight wide receivers become free agents, because teams at some point will just say, we'll trade them. We're not going to re-sign them. Let's get some value back. We saw that last offseason, right, with Devontae Adams going from Green Bay to the Raiders, A.J. Brown from Tennessee to Philadelphia, Tyreek Hill from Kansas City to Miami. So trade these guys a year before their contracts up to get something back in return. Because, look, growing up, wide receivers weren't as important as they are now. Heck, 10 years ago, they weren't as important as they are now. When you're building a team, other than quarterback, the four most important positions to me are wide receiver, left tackle, edge rusher, and cornerback. Those are the four slots you have to fill, right? It's like having a starting rotation in baseball and a great shortstop or whatever. Those are the ones you need. So the wide receiver's value is through the roof. So they trade them off now to the point where Jakobi Meyers is the top-ranked free agent wide receiver. Love the player. Sensational story. But, I mean, he's not a game changer. The guy who can come in and will help your offense for sure. And he may get $15 million a year. And, again, good for him. Get every dollar you can. But you're right. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. the top free agent may end up being Odell Beckham Jr. Like you said, Ian, and here's a guy who didn't play all of last year and has had two major knee surgeries that he's trying to recover from.
And as Joel points out, OBJ wants reportedly $20 million a year. And I think, I think the market for wide receivers is so depressed. I think he'll get it. And look, maybe it is a team like New York, because look, if you're the Jets and you're going through all this hassle to go and get Aaron Rodgers, you are not going to scoff at paying Odell Beckham Jr. $20 million a year, because I don't imagine it's going to be a long contract, maybe a couple of years, and maybe you live with, you know, terrible production in that final year. But the point being is you're taking a shot now. This isn't for, and to your point about like the draft pick thing and everything like that, like that, you know, you're not gonna waste a first round draft pick on a guy who's gonna carry a clipboard. You want to find a playmaker because, well, you want to win right now, and your window to win is right now. And you know, as we just talked about, I think the Bills are vulnerable. I don't think they're any sure thing to win the division. You're going as far as saying they're not going to win the division. So yeah, if you're Miami, are you going to pay Odell Beckham Jr. $20 million a year? Sure. Especially if it makes Aaron Rodgers happy. And again, I keep going back to the fact that, you know, they've wanted to play with each other for a while. So what the hell? Why not? Swing for the fences. If not, you got a lot of merchandise you can sell.
Yeah, you're building a brand new house. You're putting a lot of money into your kitchen. And then you decide to cheap out on the cabinets or the microwave or the refrigerator. I mean, go all in at that point. Yeah, go get Odell Beckham Jr. Look, if you have Odell Beckham Jr., Garrett Wilson, and Alan Lazard as your three wide receivers, that's pretty good. That should make Aaron Rodgers very happy.
Not to mention their running backs.
Oh, Breece Hall's a stud, right? And he's probably going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year if he didn't get hurt midway through the season. So, yeah, and they just have to address that offensive line, which, again, kind of do that in the draft and maybe add a free agent.
Yeah.
I think oftentimes the offensive line can be upgraded by coaching.
Sure.
The Patriots, right? Yeah. Dante Skarnecki could take me, you, and three other guys and make us play pretty well last year, not so much, with Matt Patricia coaching that offensive line. So, yeah, that can be a big part of it as well.
Yeah, so I'll be, you know, you got to assume that this is going to play out today, tomorrow, in the next couple of days, because I can't imagine it's going to be too much longer before these dominoes start to fall and kind of take shape. Because, again, you also want to be, you want to have your ducks in a row with a decent amount of time before the NFL draft. And you know what? Mm-hmm. The NFL draft's coming up in 6 weeks. And, you know, the Jets, again, you know, they're in a position where they can realistically contend if they make the right moves. And I think they want to get that settled now and kind of start working towards planning for the on-field product and not necessarily what we can potentially do in the offseason. So, obviously, we will be keeping an eye on that. And just real quick note, Shaq Mason just got traded to the Houston Texans from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So former Patriot, now former Buck. Yeah, little move. Good move for the Texans. You know, they're a bad team. You know, you want to get good players and help build that. So, but anyways, we will be back probably on Thursday to kind of recap and see what happens tomorrow. Keep an eye on the Full Press NFL podcast if for any sort of live updates. And it should be a fun couple days, and we're going to look forward to breaking it down some more on Thursday. And hopefully, John, hopefully we will be talking about Aaron Rodgers officially a New York Jet. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we will talk to you later.